Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Well, we have so many things that we're going to get into today in terms of specifics, but there is a general theme which should present itself readily to you on News Radio 930 WBEN. David is not with us. He's off doing Medal of Honor stuff, so you are stuck with me solo for the duration of the show. First of all, in the news, Donald Trump has dug in on the tweets some people are calling racist, but certainly not everybody is calling racist, contrary to what most mainstream media reports would have you believe. Also, Congressman Chris Collins is out with a proposal. I want to read it to you. This is from WBEN.com. This is actually an idea that I suggested a few weeks ago. Congressman Chris Collins is taking a swing at Governor Cuomo's recently signed Greenlight New York bill with a bill that would withhold federal highway money from states that give driver's licenses to illegal immigrants. Once again, Governor Cuomo has put his socialist agenda ahead of the safety of American citizens, said Chris Collins. Governor Cuomo should be enforcing laws that protect Americans instead of supporting people who break our laws. Citizens should feel safe behind the wheel, but now in New York, there will be a strong likelihood that illegals could be driving uninsured and unregistered vehicles, wreaking havoc on our roads. Cuomo has threatened the lives of New Yorkers who are legal U.S. citizens with this legislation. If he wants to help illegal immigrants avoid the law while threatening highway safety, he can pay for it. So if this goes into law, Collins's red light bill that would stop federal funding for highways from going to states that have illegal driver's licenses for illegals. Well, I guess they'd be legal driver's licenses for illegals. The highway funds would be withheld starting in fiscal year 2020 and every fiscal year after that. But wait, there is more. President Trump. This is a story off of the AP. And one of our questions today is, how would you describe President Trump's tweets? Were they offensive? Was he simply speaking the truth? Was he speaking your truth? Would you have phrased it in a different way? Do you think that there was a psychological operation behind President Trump's tweet to cause, shall we say, havoc and mayhem within the ranks of Democrats who just last week were calling Nancy Pelosi a racist? Now, this is a story on the Associated Press, and please understand, I don't write the headlines for the Associated Press. I don't write the headlines for anybody, as a matter of fact. The only thing I write is on Facebook, pretty much. But the article from the Associated Press says, Trump digs in on racist tweets. Many people agree with me. Defiant. Yep, he's defiant, because we all know defiance is not a good thing. Defiance in the face of widespread criticism, President Donald Trump renewed his belligerent call. So he's not only defiant, according to the Associated Press, he is belligerent. His belligerent call on Monday for four Democrat congresswomen of color to get out of the U.S. right now, cementing his position as the most willing U.S. leader in generations to stoke the discord that helped send him to the White House. Let's just parse this out a little bit. President Trump is defiant. There is widespread criticism, but there's no reference at all to the widespread support this president enjoys. He is renewing belligerent calls on Monday. Did Obama ever get cited for belligerent calls to cramp down on illegal immigration? Did he ever make belligerent calls for Obamacare? Or is this just a Trump thing? Belligerent calls. Also, he is the most willing American president in generations to cause discord in America, which begs the question, is President Trump causing discord or has he simply focused in on what was already out there and bringing it and brought it out into the open for everybody to see? The Associated Press piece goes on, content to gamble that a sizable chunk of the electorate embraces his tweets that have been widely denounced as racist. Okay, widely denounced by whom exactly? Certainly some people on the so-called right, pretty much everybody on the left. I haven't heard anybody in private life denounce the tweets. What I hear from people is, I love it. Keep them coming. That's why I voted for the guy. This is the Trump base. So it's not going to separate or divide President Trump from his base. That is just not going to happen. So continuing here, content to gamble that a sizable chunk of the electorate embraces his tweets that have been widely denounced as racist, the president made clear that he has no qualms about exploiting racial divisions once again. Is that really what he made clear? Because the sentence that follows that preposition is, it doesn't concern me because many people agree with me. Trump said at the White House, a lot of people love it, by the way. So if people agree with you, and you are Donald Trump, you are not able to connect with your base. You're not able to express opinions and beliefs that your base absolutely loves. That's kind of a dangerous precedent if people can't do that. Furthermore, from the Associated Press, which, as you probably know, is extremely left-wing, the episode served notice that Trump is willing to again rely on incendiary rhetoric on issues of race and immigration to preserve his political base in the lead up to the 2020 election. Is President Trump really talking about race and immigration in this tweet? Because it seems to me that the basic premise of the tweet is, if you can find nothing good in America, why stay here? Get the hell out. Now, the part about going back to where you came from factually is incorrect because only one of the four congresswomen believed to be the focus of this particular tweet was born in another country. The rest are native-born Americans. So I suppose you could get them on factual stuff. But this idea of America, love it or leave it. I'm 55 years old. I'm old enough to remember bumper stickers on cars, usually Dodges and Plymouths and sometimes Buicks, that read, America, love it or leave it. And we're talking about the late 60s and early 1970s. For those of you of the new generation, the idea of love America or leave America is hardly a new thing. In fact, it almost became a cliche. Think about TV characters like Archie Bunker, All in the Family. He was a Trump guy. He would have been part of the Trump base, and he would have had an America, love it or leave it bumper sticker on the back of his Plymouth, although I'm not sure if we ever knew what car Archie Bunker drove. So the episode served notice that Trump is willing to again rely on incendiary rhetoric on issues of race and immigration. I didn't see the incendiary rhetoric on race and immigration, I'm sorry, to preserve his political base in the lead up to the 2020 election. And maybe somebody can help me with this because I'm trying to figure out where in the tweet race was mentioned at all. He was apparently attacking the so-called squad, gang of four, whatever you want to call the people of whom Ocasio-Cortez is a member, for their political beliefs and for their criticism of America and its policies. I didn't see anything in there about they are women of color or they are somehow inferior because I am white. I didn't see that in the tweet that was put out by President Trump. There was near unanimous condemnation from Democrats for Trump's comments and a rumble of discontent from a subset of Republicans, but not from the party's congressional leaders. And a good old Mitt Romney, he is one of the president's most vocal critics within the Republican Party. He said Trump's comments were destructive, demeaning, and disunifying. And please note that when Mitt Romney ran against Barack Obama, he was savaged and attacked by the media. You might remember the stories even extending to the dog on top of his car. Mitt Romney is the guy that allowed an employee's wife to die of cancer because Mitt Romney was a big capitalist multimillionaire who didn't care about people, unlike Barack Obama, who said, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your health care, you can keep your doctor. Mitt Romney was just plain evil. But that's when he was running against Barack Obama. Just like John McCain was evil when he was running against Barack Obama. Now that Mitt Romney is attacking President Trump and the conservative wing, if you want to call it that, of the Republican Party, Mitt Romney is looked at as a figure to be reckoned with, as a voice of reason. This man who only years ago was the enemy of the media because he was running against Barack Obama is suddenly being lionized as someone whose voice we should listen to. And if Mitt Romney were to run again for president against a Democrat, you could basically start a stopwatch and see how quickly Mitt Romney would be attacked by mainstream media in the United States. Now, as for President Trump, he has dug in on comments that he'd made on Twitter that if lawmakers hate our country, they can go back to their broken and crime-infested countries. His remarks directed at, well, we just said at whom they were directed. If you're not happy in the United States, and again, tell me what's new about this sentiment, because I've been hearing it pretty much as long as I've been alive regarding people who seem to not think very highly of the United States. President Trump, if you're not happy in the United States, if you're complaining all the time, you can leave right now. Now, according to the Associated Press, the president's words evoked the trope of telling black people to go back to Africa may have been partly meant to widen the divides within the House Democratic caucus. And see, this is what I think has some validity to it. Widen the divides within the House Democratic caucus, which has been riven by internal debate over how best to oppose the policies of President Trump. I think that these tweets, the motive for these tweets, because obviously President Trump knows that three of the four congresswomen were not born in countries other than the United States. I think this was basically a strategy to further divide the Democrats, because if you don't know, for as screwed up as the Republican Party is, the Democrat Party is also screwed up, and you've got a huge, I don't want to call it a civil war, but I might as well, between the socialist faction of the Democrat Party and what you might think of as the more mainstream in the Democrat Party. And again, let's not forget, it was just last week that Nancy Pelosi was being called a racist, and President Trump actually went to Nancy Pelosi's defense, which was interesting. But as for right now, in the here and now, while Trump's attacks brought Democrats together in defense of their colleagues, his allies noted he was also having some success in making the controversial progressive lawmakers the face of their party. And if you want to understand Donald Trump and how he thinks, you really need to understand how psychological operations work. This guy is a master of psychological operations. He doesn't just tweet without thinking. I am now convinced of this. There is a larger strategy that the president is trying to bring about with these tweets. Now, the opposition, of course, they're going to call them racist. Of course, they're going to march and protest and carp against what the president had to say. But I think there is a larger agenda that the president is trying to bring about with these kind of tweets. Now, would I have tweeted such a thing? I would have left out the part about go back to where you came from, or go back to where you came. I would have left in the part about if you really don't like America, why don't you go somewhere else and tell us what they're doing right, and then come back, and then we can do it the same way they're doing it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that particular sentiment. I think that what people are hung up on, maybe I could be wrong on this, is the idea of going back to where it is you came, because three out of the four actually came from the United States of America. Your comments on President Trump's tweets, I'll ask you the direct question, were they racist, were they offensive, or do you want more of this from President Trump? Is this why you voted for President Trump, or is this why you cringe, even though you might support him, about President Trump? You know, I said the other day, and I will stick with this opinion today, that for many years, people were wondering what the issue was going to be that would be the tipping point in America. Now, the next question logically would be, well, the tipping point toward what? Is it the tipping point toward civil war? That remains to be seen. Is it the tipping point for people choosing sides? I think it very well may be. And, you know, we hear a lot, and we've heard a lot over the years, about the middle in the United States of America. And I would like to propose to you kind of a novel thought. And again, I could be right, I could be wrong. It's up to you to tell me one way or the other, whether I've nailed it or whether I haven't. I believe that in this country over the past couple of years, the middle has shrunk dramatically. It has gotten to the point, in my opinion, where you are being encouraged and almost forced to take sides. For example, you are either for open borders or you are against open borders. There really isn't middle ground there. You either believe that anybody and everybody who wants to come into the United States should be able to do so without any paperwork, without any clearance, without any background check, without any visas or any permissions whatsoever, or you believe the border and immigration need to be controlled and regulated and that we have an enforcement arm of the federal government that does exactly that, and it is known as ICE, and that people who come here illegally should be arrested and deported post-haste. You have to choose a side on that. There is no in-between, just like you have to choose a side on abortion. You can't be a little bit for abortion, just like you can't be a little bit pregnant. Now, I suppose the middle ground in abortion might be medical or psychological necessity. That might be middle ground, but by and large, I see the middle ground washing away. And again, you tell me if I'm right, you tell me if I'm wrong. The middle ground washing away and people increasingly becoming polarized, one side or the other side. And Friday I spoke about meeting somebody for the very first time and trying to ascertain which side they are on so you know where to and where not to direct the conversation. I mean, how many times have people who know your political beliefs come up to you and said, they'll start the conversation by saying, we're on the same side. I believe as you do. Hey, we're on the same team. And I don't care whether you are on the right or the left. I'm sure this goes on the left as well. Because let's face it, if you're on the left, you really don't want to be good friends with a guy like me or a guy who sees the world as I do. Because we're just going to have too many disagreements. We're going to have too many arguments. And moreover, you may think that because I believe the way I believe, you might automatically make presumptions about me that simply are not true. You might presume right out of the box that I am, for example, a racist. Such a proposition is demonstrably laughable in no way, shape, or form. Yet, that is the paradigm that some of us are faced to crawl out of, the way we are perceived by others. And those of us who are on the right, we also look at people on the left, and we regard you as unhinged. We regard you as emotional, illogical, and not thinking things through. Probably the same could be said for those of you on the left who look at people like me and say, well, what he's saying is illogical. Or one of my favorites, he's out of touch with the right side of history. The only right side of history is who won. It doesn't matter. Objective right or wrong doesn't matter, because the only side of history that matters is the winning side. The losing side always gets short shrift. The losing side is always wrong in the eyes of history, whether it is right or whether it is wrong. It's always wrong when you lose. The victors get all the positive PR. Why? Because they're the victors. Yep, Bowerly and Bellavia. David is off doing Medal of Honor stuff. Very good press in the L.A. media, by the way, as he's out in California. Okay, so we're talking about, well, I think you know what we're talking about, and several questions today. And I'm sorry I talked so long the first part of the show. I had a full board of calls, and a lot of people said, well, we don't feel like waiting this long. So were President Trump's tweets racist? or are you somebody who says, as Sandy Beach said this morning, I heard you, Sandy, Sandy Beach said, thank God President Trump is president. Thank God he's president right now. That is a paraphrase, not a direct quote. But yeah, I mean, I've thought it, but Sandy gave those words enunciation on his program today. Let's go to Joe in Lindenville. Joe, the president, does he have anything to apologize for with his tweets?
No, he does not. I would hope he would change his wording a little bit, but he's downstate New York, has the same speaking idiom and what have you of all, everybody in that part of the country. They all talk that way. However, he has to have tweets because no one else is actually supporting him. About the only people who back him up are Vice President Pence and Lindsey Graham. Otherwise, you know, the Republicans are running for the hills. Now,
you know, that's it's a great point you bring up, Republican pusillanimity, because for all of the talk about how unhinged Donald Trump is and all the words he uses in his tweets, I remember when there was a Republican in the White House who believed that to answer and respond to his critics was beneath the dignity of the office of the President of the United States. And that man was George W. Bush. And he left office with some of the lowest popularity numbers in history because he allowed the opposition to define him. We have in Donald Trump somebody who gives it back as good as he gets it.
Yes. And, President Bush found out. I mean, ended up with a terrible rating. The reason for this is very simple. The Democrat Party does not allow for dissent. If you are a dissenter in the Democrat Party in public office, you're not supported for re-election. On the other hand, of course, yes, the Republicans don't do that. If you have a dissent, you voice it, and that's it.
Well, both political party organizations want to make sure their soldiers toe the line. There are big dollars at stake and a lot of people who want those offices. As far as the Democrats, I mean, right now what's happening, you're certainly aware of what's happening within the Democrat Party between the socialist faction and the non-socialist faction, or possibly the not-so-openly socialist faction.
Yes.
All right, so nothing to apologize for, Donald Trump. Chris Collins came out today and said that New York State and other states that are giving driver's licenses to illegals should not get federal highway funds, and that should be the law. Agree with that?
Oh, yes. The only reason to give an illegal alien a driver's license is that he can vote.
Oh, they say that's not going to happen, but I think the common sense people know a lot better than they do.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
I mean, what's going to stop them with valid ID?
Nothing. Nothing.
Even if it says this is not for voting purposes. All right. And the other question I want to throw out here is there a middle in America anymore? Because if you didn't hear it earlier, I think the middle of American political thought is slipping away. I think that it's becoming either one side or the other. It's a dichotomy. It's a what's that word I'm trying to come up with? I'll come up with it sooner or later. Is there a middle anymore?
I do not believe so. It's pretty well vanished.
All right. Anything else you want to add into this?
No, been very good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you from Lindenville there, the home of David Bellavia. Here is Dave in Buffalo on WBEN. Dave, you're on. Hello.
Hello, sir. First of all, I'd like just to say that I believe I'm fighting to stay in the middle. It's been very difficult.
Is there something we can do to get a better connection out of you? I don't know if you're using Bluetooth or whatever, but you sound a little bit muddy.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we'll try to make this as quick as possible. Say your piece.
Okay, I'm in the middle. This is why I believe that the comments you made were racist. The fact that 3 out of the 4 women are from the U.S., and he's telling them to go back to the country they came from, the only reason he would say that is because, in my opinion, they are people of color, all 4 of them. How do you tell somebody to go back to the country they came from when they're from here? He doesn't even realize that they're from here because they are people of color. So to me, that is a racist statement. Now, I do believe the left throws around the term race way too often, and most of the time they're wrong. In this one instance, I kind of agree with them, and I'd like to point out that I voted for Trump. I usually back him up, but the stuff that he said this weekend really kind of got to me.
How is it, I'm just kind of curious, how is it substantially different than people saying America, love it or leave it, which is so old it's almost a cliche?
Love it or leave it is different. Love it or leave it is, if you don't like the country, get out, go somewhere else. But when you're telling somebody to go back to the country they came from, and they came from here, and most people are of color, it's a racist statement because you're assuming they're from somebody somewhere else or something because they are a people of color.
But don't you take into account the fact that the four that were presumably singled out are in fact the most radical four, and their race or background is simply a coincidence in this whole thing?
I would, like I said, I would disagree with, because of the fact he said to go back to the countries they came from. He didn't say go, you know, leave. He said go to the back to the country you came from. He means that is racist language.
Is it racist, though? He didn't really single out a race. He didn't say go back to Africa, go back to wherever. Of course, he really couldn't in the case of three of the...
These people, white men or women, I don't think he would have said go back to the country you came from. I think he would have said go somewhere else.
We'll never know with absolute certainty, because I can certainly remember times when I was a little boy where people who were native-born Americans were told to go back to where you came from. And I could never, as a kid, figure that out. Where was it they came from if they were born here?
Perhaps. Just my opinion.
All right. Well, thank you very much. So you are no longer a Donald Trump supporter. You're going to vote against Donald Trump.
I don't know if I'm going to vote against him, but I don't know if I'm going to vote for him after this.
So where do you think, I mean, if we had to put you on, for, I want to ask you, because actually you're the closest I've come to a middle caller in a while. Is there still a middle in the United States?
I believe, I am in the middle, and when I say that, and I know certain radio hosts, I know Rush has a big problem that he doesn't believe in this. I do try to take each issue and think about each issue, and I don't come at it from a point of view already. Now, that being said, most of the time when I listen to CNN or Fox, I'm usually on the side of the president. You know, I see the BS that CNN puts out there and stuff like that. But is there a middle anymore? Yeah, I still think there is. I still think there is. I think the media likes to portray the two ends of the spectrum more because it's more exciting and obviously gets more ratings.
That might be true with some people. I have to tell you, with me, that is not the case. I'm simply, these shows that I've been doing since Friday, they are a reflection of what I've been hearing from people like you out there. These are not thoughts that I've generated internally and that I've seeded across the land. These are thoughts that people have approached me with.
Well, no, and you know, that's another point I'd like to make. Topic that's going on with these statements and these last couple tweets have really hit a nerve with the nation. And another reason I'm so angry with the president about it is, even if this was some brilliant strategy that he has to make the squad the face of the Dems or whatever, which I really don't think. I think that's kind of a stretch. But even if this is some brilliant strategy, I'm mad at him because is it worth it? You know, is it worth pulling everybody apart like this? And to me, it isn't. And it brought out a lot of anger in me towards him.
I would have phrased it in a different way, eliminating the part about going back to where they came from, but keeping the part about if you don't like it, leave it, because that's a lot more defensible than it is to say go back to where you came from, especially since three out of four were from the United States, unless it was a figure of speech. But if you're the president, you got to look out for figures of speech.
I agree with you, and maybe if he would have said it like that, you know, you could just leave instead of saying going back to the country you came from. It wouldn't have hit the nerve it's hit with me and with so many people.
I don't see it as racist. I see it as factually incorrect.
Well, yes, sir.
All right. Well, look, I'm glad you called. Thanks very much.
Okay, have a good one.
Yep, one of my many recent theses is I don't believe we have a middle or much of a middle in America anymore. I think that people, if they haven't already, are going to have to pick sides. And the reason I cited the immigration issue earlier is, you know, for many years I wondered what exactly would be the tipping point, if you will, for the United States, when that would happen. What is the tipping point? And I strongly suspect that immigration and the changing of America, what some people regard as the dismantling of America, is the tipping point, which is causing a drain on the middle and people gravitating to either the open border side or the let's control the border side, because there really isn't an in-between on that one. Because if you believe in any border enforcement whatsoever, then you should be supporting the people at ICE, who are the enforcement arm of the federal government vis-a-vis immigration. And we went through the whole logical thing yesterday about, hey, if you believe in open borders, how open should they be? And how many people can the United States actually absorb from Central America and from South America? How many jobs can the economy create? How many people can actually be brought into social services roles? Going to have a lot of people sitting around with nothing to do. And by the way, if that isn't a breeding ground for revolution and fundamentally changing the United States, I don't know what is. Millions of people idle, possibly not able to receive because the social services systems are broken, social services benefits, and not having any job whatsoever to dull their faculties and occupy their time. That's a breeding ground for some really nasty stuff. Let's get back to the calls on WBEN. Next up, we have Niagara Falls, and it is Dave. Dave, you're on. Hello.
Hello, Tom. I just wanted to say that a lot of us Canadians follow the American politics very closely, because whatever your economy does, hopefully ours follows. Unfortunately, we don't have a prime minister that quite knows when to shut up. But however, I recently read a book called The Third Jihad, and I think that Donald Trump is well aware of this movement. And if you read this book, and if you're listening,
well, what's the premise of The Third Jihad? If you were to sum it up and you were doing a book report on the show, what would you say in the first two sentences?
Well, what I would say is that there's three forms of taking over a country, right? One is by like the AK-47, or what we would call terrorist, but the other is what they call Dawa, and that's taking over your political system and integrating into your communities and your system so much that we become socially acceptable. But next thing before you know it, they've conquered it, just like what they've done in a great number of the countries in Europe. And that is going on in your country as well as in our country to a great degree. And if people would wake up to that, maybe they wouldn't be so far politically correct. And one of the things that a lot of people up here like about Donald Trump is in his first campaign debate, he said, I don't have time to be politically correct, because it's gone so far. Because what is politically correct? That means that I don't have an opinion, you don't have an opinion, we don't even have a thought unless it lines up with whoever is decided, which is usually a minority group.
Right. If you don't go along with the accepted left-wing orthodoxy, anything you say is going to be ridiculed, which is a great tactic the left often employs, as per Sal Alinsky. It'll be Saul Alinsky. It'll be ridiculed, or it will be called racist and insulted that way.
Exactly.
So it really is. It is the 21st century equivalent of calling somebody a heretic in the 16th century.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Exactly. And so whatever your thoughts are no good, you know, unless they line up with them. And that's basically what I wanted to see. But
if you
ever get the chance to look it up.
Okay, thank you very much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.